Okay, so we're picking up today in Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. And we're just going to read to the end of the chapter here. And I'm reading in ESV, so if you're reading something different, just keep that in mind. It'll be close, but translate across as you go. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That's a happy list. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So remember, the context of this whole book of Galatians is this church that is becoming divided. They're getting legalistic, people that are much more concerned with doing everything right. They're much more concerned with that than actually loving people. And I'm not saying we're just going to go, hey, let's do whatever we want to do. No, there is a way to walk in God. There's a way to go in God. But there's this whole group that's more concerned with the law than they are with the people. And Paul's addressing this, and he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't revert to this old system. Don't go back. And guys, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. One of the ways that the flesh actually can war against the Spirit is this constant battle to pull us back into legalism and back into, here's your list, just go back to the list. As long as I'm satisfying this list, then I'm good in God. Just give me a list. That's always a temptation. And God's saying, I want relationship with you, not a list that you're fulfilling. Now, we read two lists in here, so we're not going to ignore the lists. But your relationship with Jesus isn't about a list of do's and don'ts. You could totally avoid all the don'ts and completely miss relationship with Jesus. You could avoid all of the don'ts and not really be loving people. Like, all these don'ts in here, what do we have? Sexual immorality. You can go, oh, I ticked the box. Sexual, I'm good there. But are you loving people? Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. You go, oh, I ticked the box on that one. I'm pretty sure I haven't really engaged in a lot of sorcery lately. But are you loving people? Are you actually engaging with people? Or are you a non-sorcery practicing jerk? You know, that's the point isn't that, okay, I got the boxes ticked. It opens up, though, with this passage we just read opens with this. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sin, the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. So he gives you this big list of fleshly desires, but he opens it up saying, how are you going to actually avoid all of this? It's not by just trying really hard to avoid all of this. It's by walking in the Spirit. When we engage with God, when we walk by the Spirit, these things lose their luster. They're not so exciting. They're not so drawing to us when we're investing in the kingdom of God, when we're hanging out with Jesus himself. Walk by the Spirit, this is the key, you guys, to avoiding a whole lot of sinful junk that would love to get a hold of you and love to plague your life, love to make going to school miserable for you. Would love to do that. But the way to avoid it is to walk by the Spirit. Now, I'm thinking to myself, if I wasn't a guy that grew up in the church and somebody said, walk by the Spirit, what does that mean? What does that even mean? Like, yeah, I just walked by the store the other day. You know, I walked by something. Doesn't mean, you know, like, Dolly's walking by me. I'm not walking by, you know, here's my guitar, walking by the guitar. We don't have the Holy Spirit out here somewhere. And yep, I just walked by the Holy Spirit. Make sure you walk by the Holy Spirit at least once a day. It's like an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Walk by the Spirit and you'll be okay. No, walking by the Spirit means to not walk in your own ability, depending on yourself, depending on your own resources, but depending on Him. Like, how am I going to accomplish this? I'm going to accomplish it by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're saying walking by the Spirit, it means walking by His power, or walking in the Spirit, walking in His power versus your own. When you say, I'm dependent on You, God, I'm not depending on me, I'm not depending on the list of do's and don'ts, I'm depending on You. That's the definition of walking by the Spirit. Then he says walking in the flesh, walking by the flesh. Flesh is opposed to the Spirit. It's the opposite here. So what is this? The Greek word for it is sarx, which kind of sounds like a swear word in a Looney Tunes cartoon or something. Arr, sarx. You know, it's sarx. It originated in the Greek language. It just meant the soft, fleshy part of your body. Like, not your bones, but the muscles and the flesh, the belly. I guess the older you get, some of the belly be the soft, fleshy part of your body. But when it started being used in Scripture, Paul started taking this word flesh to mean everything to do with our sinful nature. Everything to do with who we are apart from God. How good can you be apart from God? All your good works that you would try to do apart from God, that's actually all flesh. The best you can be is still the flesh, because it's depending on yourself. So we've got walking by the Spirit, which is depending on God, and then you've got walking or working in the flesh, depending on yourself, or depending on something else other than God. So all these, this whole thing of the flesh being opposed to the Spirit, you, your old self, actually works against God. The things of the flesh work against God and tries to keep you from actually doing the very things that are the nature of God, the character of God. So your old self might be, we already said it, might be a jerk. You're just a pain to be around. I'm not saying that to anyone in particular. You are not a pain to be around. But maybe someone somewhere else in some other gathering somewhere is a pain to be around. And none of us know those people. I know, right? Beck is winking at me. I don't know what that means. I don't think I'm a pain to be around. Hope I'm not. The Spirit is not a pain to be around, not a jerk. This, we read this list of the fruit of the Spirit, all these good things, and we'll get back to them in a little bit. And then this negative list of these horrible, they're pretty horrible things. And we won't. I went through reading this list and going through them all. We could spend a long time on every one of these words because there's a lot of meaning to them. But suffice it to say, sexual immorality is anything that's outside of God's will regarding sex. Okay? This is works of the flesh. Impurity. The word is like being defiled, being unclean. Sensuality, very much focused on senses versus the spirit. Everything, like, I'm focused in on how I feel. I'm focused in on, it's just very, very much led by emotions. There's a sexual component to that as well. Then we've got a couple of real religious sins here, idolatry and sorcery. Idolatry would be worshiping anything other than God, replacing God with anything. I call it your God replacement package. What are you trying to fill the gap with? If it's not God, it's something else you're trying to fill the void with. That's idolatry. That's your idol. And this isn't somewhere else, somebody else in some other church. We all deal with this. Trying to fill the void with something besides God. It can be career. It can be your family. Even your husband and your wife can become an idol. Your kids can become idols to you, where everything starts to revolve around them, even when it's not revolving around God anymore. They become the center. That can be idolatry. And sorcery, anything to do with witchcraft. If you've messed with witchcraft in any form or fashion, it's sinful. God wants you to go to Him and nowhere else for supernatural input, supernatural help. That's to come from God, nowhere else. I told you I wasn't going to spend a lot of time on these words, and here I am doing it. Okay, so enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries. I've never seen this happen in the church, ever. Rivalries, dissensions, division. Never, never, never. He's writing to the church, you guys. And it's kind of funny. I mean, he says, this is obvious. These things are obvious. Envy, drunkenness, orgies. This whole thing of drunkenness and orgy is together is basically when you've had too much to drink and then everything that comes from it. It's a broader word than what you might be thinking. But everything that stems from drunken behavior and too much alcohol. He says, look, guys, this is obvious. I don't have to really spend a lot of time with this telling you, yeah, these things don't line up with the character of God. And then he hits hard. He says, I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ouch. This whole book's been about grace. So what happened? How did we all of a sudden go from you're not under the law, you're free, don't go back under the law, don't go back to these old ways of doing these things, to if you do this, you're not even going to inherit the kingdom of God. Whoa. What he's saying, it's not saying if you got drunk one time and you accidentally had a bit too much to drink on Friday night and you're like, oh my goodness, I've had too much, I've crossed the line. He's not saying that's it. You are disinherited. You cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's no hope for you. Like the old Jesus movies, the Jesus jokes, the joke movies. Have you seen these? The Jesus videos, and they overdub this really effeminate voice in the place of Jesus. And it's Jesus how he wasn't. And he stands up for the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, I'm Jesus. I have done many great and wonderful things. And you are all evil. And he says, there is no hope. That's all. And he walks away. It's not that. It's like, you have done many evil things. You're all evil. There's no hope for you. I guarantee you, some of you have indulged in one or more of that list more than once. Some of you, maybe most of that list more than once. Does that mean there's no hope for you? No. What he's saying, the verbs that are used in this passage, the Greek verbs, are they're very present tense verbs, and they imply ongoing behavior. When we're talking about walking in the Spirit, we're talking about an ongoing lifestyle of walking in the Spirit. We're talking about walking in the flesh. It's an ongoing lifestyle. It says, if you're walking in these things, and you are perpetually, in an ongoing way, continuing in these sinful behaviors that are completely contrary to the nature of God, it's evidence that you actually haven't received the Spirit of God into your life. It's evidence of rebellion. You're still living in a rebel world. And Paul's saying, look, if you continue in these things and you're like, this is who I want to be, this is the way I want to go, you can't go that way and inherit the kingdom of God. So as a Grace Church, it's our name, Grace Church Spokane. Don't translate that into license to sin church. You know, we are the first church of licentiousness. No, we're not. You could totally just grab that out, take it out of context, cut and paste that out of the audio recording and make us look really bad. First church of licentiousness. That's not who we are. It's not who God's created us to be. It's not who he's designed us to be. It's not his nature. Then we go on and see this amazing list, this fruit of the Spirit of God, this fruit of walking in the Spirit. What I said under the first thing, I said, how do we live free? Walking by the Spirit is the key to ongoing victory over sin, over any sin in your life, over any area in your life. How do you live free? Walking by the Spirit. So what does that look like? What does it look like to live free? What does it look like to walk by the Spirit? This list that we have is really cool. It's not a list of actions. It's not a doing list. He says it's the fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to hang out with the Spirit. We're going to hang out with God. God wants you to hang out with him. He wants you to be with him. Not walking by the Spirit. Hey, Spirit. Walking with the Spirit. You're walking with him. You're spending time with God. What happens when you do that? You start to become like him. All of us start to become like the things we worship. Whatever it is. Whatever you're worshiping, you become like that thing you're worshiping. I can slip quickly into Montana Grizzly football idolatry. I can do it. I can. I really can. I know you guys are like, whatever, John. I totally can. I can slip into it on game day, leading up to the game. Game day for me can start on Wednesday or Thursday. Game isn't until Saturday. And I'm reading up on the players. I'm reading up on how they did, who they plan, what are the best ways that they need to play this team, who's going to be the key players. I can start on Wednesday, Thursday, and start just getting preoccupied with this stuff. And pretty soon my whole world is revolving around the Grizz. I love the Grizz. They're doing terrible this year. So my idols are crumbling. God's so faithful. He's so good to bring us down and discipline us, as Donald reminded us in worship. His discipline is good. I could do the same thing with politics. I'm probably even worse with politics than I am football. And I can get on... I'll get on the conservative sites and I'm reading everything they've got to say. I'm getting on the liberal sites, I'm reading everything they've got to say, and I can just go and go and go and go. And pretty soon my whole world is caught up and I'm convinced, how is the nation going to go? Well, it's all depending on this election. Instead of God being my focus, my hope can become in a political party. I'll tell you what, that is rampant in our nation right now. It's idolatry. I'm not saying let's all disengage and not vote. Now that I'm in Washington, we've got everybody votes by mail. That's new for me. So I got my ballot in the mail, and I'll vote. And I care about it. But Jesus is the one who's going to save the nations and our nation. It's not the Republicans or the Democrats. It's Jesus. We want him to be the center. So, guys, I'm just sharing with you. This can become idolatry for me. For you, it can be completely different. What are the things that you find yourself, your time just getting sucked into, to where God gets on the sidelines and something else is in the middle? That's your idolatry. What? Books, movies. It could be anything, guys. It could be anything. I wasn't meaning, let's go around the room. Everyone go around the room. Let's share our idols. Here's my biggest struggles. The biggest struggles you have are the ones, I'll just tell you, they're the ones that you actually would prefer not to share right now. You're thinking, if I had to share my real idols, they're the ones that you'd rather keep quiet. But we're not going to do that. We're going to instead look at Jesus. So what does living free look like? This is our God from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all characteristics of the Spirit of God. This is who our God is. If you find yourself not feeling particularly loving toward people, you don't actually need to spend a lot of time in deep intercession for yourself and praying, God, please make me more loving. Make me more loving. I need to love people more. I know I should. I feel guilty. I feel terrible about this. Help me love people. Actually, all you need to do is spend time with Jesus. You spend time with God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit, like, I have no joy. When things are going great in my life, I'm up. And then when things aren't going great, I'm down. Well, that's happiness. Happiness works. You're happy when things are good. You're not happy when things are bad. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And that's not dependent on circumstance. You go, I can actually have joy when things are going terribly. Why? Because you're living dependent on Him instead of dependent on your circumstance. When we hang out with Jesus, these things are our fruit in our lives. I remember kind of one of my fathers in the faith, Steve Valentine, used to stand up and he would talk about fruit. He said, you never see a tree. You know, the tree's out there going, trying like to bear fruit. He doesn't have to do that. Fruit happens. Fruit is the product of healthy relationship. A healthy tree bears fruit. When you are hanging out with God, you're spending time with God, fruit happens in your life. Love happens as a result of God. Joy, all these other things, peace, patience. Oh, this one I hear frequently, like, I'm just not a very patient person. Well, maybe not in yourself. Maybe your flesh isn't very patient. But in God, like, God is patient. That's who He is. And when you spend time with Him, patience happens. So if I'm walking through my week and I realize my fuse is a little short this week, what that tells me is I'm probably a little bit distant in my times with God. I'm not really hanging out with God much because the fruit of being in the Spirit isn't there in my life. So it's not like, oh, wow, do I need to repent if I blow up at somebody? Or I don't usually blow up at somebody, but if I do, then yeah, I need to repent But it's not just repent. Oh, God, forgive me, please. I'll never do this again. No, actually what he's saying is, come back and hang out with me. Spend time with me. That is the answer. Walk by the Spirit and you won't fulfill all these fleshly desires. Impatience means I am more concerned with myself than with you, and how I feel than about you. So if I'm impatient, I've totally slipped from a God-focusedness, which results in an others-centered life, to it's all about me. No? It's all about me. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. God makes you faithful. He helps you be true to your word. People can count on you, not because you're so great, but because God's so great in you. He makes you good. Isn't that cool? He makes you good. And that's not just like, I feel good. Or James Brown style, you know? Ha! I feel good. I knew that I would now. It's not good. It's an action. Actually, right there, that word is one of the most active words in this whole list. Goodness means you actually are treating other people well. If you kind of trace it down into its root meanings, it's generosity. God makes you generous. He makes you good to people. So we've got all this fruit of hanging out with God. This is a duh question. We've had the how, we've had the what, but who enables us to live free? You don't even have to open your Bible. You could probably just answer me. Jesus, if you're a believer, you know this. Jesus. Walking by the Spirit is only possible in Christ Jesus. There's no other way to walk by the Spirit. There's no other way to have consistent fruit of all these things in your life other than through Jesus. It's only in Christ, in verse 24, that our flesh is crucified along with its sinful passions and desires. Look at that. Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It doesn't mean your flesh doesn't sometimes try to get up and raise itself from the dead. It tries. And you're going to have through your whole Christian life until someday Jesus comes back or you die and go to heaven. There's always going to be temptation. There's always going to be battles with sin. We're never completely free of it. God very purposefully keeps us dependent on Him. You're not going to get to a point where you go, I just don't struggle with sin issues anymore. I'm good. I'm great. No, there's always going to be more. But God wants you dependent on Him and coming back to His grace regularly. All the time. But, having said that, the flesh has been crucified. It's been nailed to the cross with Jesus. When He died, you died. The old you died. It was buried with Him, and when He rose again on the third day, it says you were raised not to your old life again. You were raised to new life in Him. So we are able to live by the Spirit. We're able to walk by the Spirit because of this new life in Him. That's awesome. At least to me, that's awesome. I get really excited about this. I'm alive in Christ. I'm able to be loving in Christ. I'm able to have joy in tough circumstances in Christ. I'm able to be patient with stupid people. Yes! It could be stupid teachers. It could be stupid, you know, people at the grocery store. It could be stupid friends. It could be people that are just doing dumb things. Stupid drivers. See? Now we're gonna get to how we really feel, right? Stupid drivers. So it could be any of these things. People are gonna let you down. Now, whether or not they're really stupid, probably not. But we can feel that way. And what happens in that place, your response to them can actually be full of patience and kindness and goodness because of God, because of Jesus at work in your life. This is what he's committed to doing. What it does is it brings him glory. When people are jerks to you and you don't respond in kind, you respond very differently. They notice. They might not even like it. They might try to push your buttons in every way they can to figure out what is with this person. So you can start going, you start hanging out with God, and your responses start changing a little bit. You might see some people get worse, not better. They might get worse because they're trying to figure you out. Is this for real? You know, and insulting comments come your way. Like, where did that come from? That was never there before. They're trying to figure you out. Or they're just trying to point out to you you're not as different as you think you are. But we're still enabled to live free by him. In Christ, we can be led by the Spirit instead of being under the law. You're not under the list of the do's and don'ts. Because in the Spirit, you end up fulfilling them anyway. This whole list of things. When you are walking in the Spirit, I don't really need to spend a lot of time with you saying, look, you need to not be sexually immoral. I need to spend time with you on that when you're not walking in the Spirit. When we're consumed with other things, we fall back under the law and we're going, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? And we have to bring the law to the lawless. That's what it's for. The purpose of the law is to limit lawlessness. It's to limit the effects of wickedness. And so occasionally we have to go, hey, this is sinful behavior. Stop it. But never alone. We always bring that with, come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. He's the only one who's going to make it possible to live holy. So why does any of this matter? We've had the how, the what, the who. Why? Why does this matter? Because God's in the business of transforming and changing real lives. Real people. Every one of us in the room, we're real people with real lives, with real issues, real strengths, real weaknesses. And we're going to go out into various jobs, schools, and just, there's going to be people that you're going to mingle with this week that I don't mingle with. There's going to be people that I mingle with that you don't mingle with. And everywhere you go, you either can be this person who's walking in the flesh and just creating little wildfires everywhere you go. Or you can be this person walking in the Spirit. That everywhere you go, it's this contagion of the Holy Spirit on you, enabling you to walk differently, speak differently, act differently. Everywhere you go. By the power of the Spirit, God is daily transforming all of us to be like him as we spend time enjoying it. I'm not saying as we spend time making sure that we get our two or three chapters in every day reading our Bible. Say, as you open your Bible and begin to read, go, God, speak to me. I don't want to hang out with a book. I want to hang out with God. I want to hang out with you. And these are your words. So, God, speak to me. Bring life to me through this. As you're engaging with him, he is transforming you. And you'll be surprised at what comes out. You'll be surprised at times the fruit that comes out of you in awful circumstances. It's very cool. I wrote this down. In schools, workplaces, social gatherings, and family gatherings, we are made effective because of the Spirit at work in us. You are effective in God. This week, you are effective in God. And don't let anybody tell you you're not. Don't let anything that's coming through your mind that would say, who are you? What can you do? You know, Gabe's going to head into North Central high school tomorrow morning at 6:50 in the morning and go out running with some of his cross-country buddies. And he can easily walk into this school with, what do they have, 1,700 kids, something like that, 1,800 kids in there, and think, gosh, I'm just one kid in this school. But actually, Gabe walks in there full of the Holy Spirit, effective. He's made effective in God. He carries the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere he goes, and he can be effective. And that goes true for every one of us. You know, whether you're going, Jared's not here today, but whether you're walking into the Gonzaga campus, or you're walking into the Whitworth campus, wherever you're going into work, you are effective in God. Live that way. Live that way. And if you feel like you're not, come back. Spend some time with Jesus, because he's going to make you effective. Let's just pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for sending your Son, not only to die for us, but to come alive in us. Thank you for giving us new life in you, sending your Spirit to enable us to live supernaturally. God, thank you that we are not just a natural people. We are a supernatural people. God, thank you that in you we can be kind, we can be good, we can be faithful. This list of the fruit of the Spirit, we get to live in these things and demonstrate these things to people all week long. We're going to encounter people that don't know you. God, I pray for eyes to see this week, ears to hear as people are speaking to us. God, we hear what's going on in their hearts. Your word says by the abundance of the mouth, or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God, I pray for ears to hear for all of us, God, that when someone is speaking, go, ah, here's what's going on in their heart. And then because of this relationship with you, God, we're able to bring hope to people. We're able to bring love to people. We're able to bring joy into circumstances where there isn't any. And God, I just thank you that you make us effective. Lord, I pray right now for anyone here, maybe something on that list of the works of the flesh that are so evident. Lord, it may not be evident to everyone else, but you make it evident in our hearts where we have slipped into something that's completely not according to your character. Would you right now, by your Spirit, bring a super healthy conviction to us? Bring that discipline to us where you don't just let us carry on in sinful activity. You don't just let us carry on in destructive behavior, but as a good father, disciplining us. Do that now in our hearts. If God's bringing anything up, just even right now, just between you and the Lord, just deal with that. Simply looks like confessing it to him. He already knows it anyway. Confess it. Repent. And come back to Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your amazing faithfulness to us. We just want to submit to you because of your faithfulness, because of your goodness. We freely submit our lives to you. And now, God, we say, as we wrap up this official meeting, thank you that you don't wrap up at all. You continue to work in our lives, and you will continue to do that all week long. And we look forward to great testimonies of what you've done in us and through us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.